Chapter 1. The Cul-de-Sac. I followed Lily into the living room of her late mother's apartment. Winter sunshine flooded through the open sliding glass doors that led to the balcony overlooking the Atlantic, and a cool breeze swept around us. "I'm going to miss coming down here, Steve," she said. She wore her vacation uniform of a polo shirt and cargo shorts, with her auburn hair pulled tight with butterfly clips. We'd both gotten a tan during our week in Florida, and her skin glowed, though the edges of her mouth turned down in sadness. "Your mother has only been gone a few months," I said. "Of course you're going to miss her."
"I miss her every day," Lily said. "But I love this apartment, too, and all the memories it holds."
"I didn't think you'd been here that often." Before I met her, Lily had been a globe-trotting photojournalist, and her relationship with her mother had been awkward. She had disappointed Benita Weinstock with her two divorces and her refusal to put down roots. That is, until she had landed at Eastern College, taken a long-term job, and then eventually moved in with me.
"I love the sunshine and the view," Lily said. "If we could afford it, I'd keep this place for vacations. But that would mean buying out my brother's share, and there's no way we could do that."
I was surprised and confused. Whenever we'd talked about Florida, our conversation always involved her mother. Now she was loving the landscape?
"I'm going to pick out a few things to take back with us," she said. "Look around for anything you want. I'll start putting stuff on the dining room table."
She moved over to the bookshelf, but instead of grabbing a book, she picked up an ugly ceramic frog.
"The first thing I want is this."
I was baffled again. While I have some pack rat tendencies, Lily has always traveled light, and she'd been horrified a few months ago when we'd come to see her mother while she was ill. The apartment had been jammed full of stuff. Piles of newspapers, endless framed photos of family, accordion folders of past bank and credit card statements. Each time a bill came in, her mother had meticulously saved all the accompanying materials, even the torn envelope. Then she'd photocopied the bill and her check and stapled all the paperwork together. Lily had raged back then about the state of the apartment. Now that we'd cleaned it thoroughly and the only items that remained were those of some value, she'd changed her tune. But the frog? How in the world could she want that?
"Is that particularly valuable?"
I asked. She shook her head.
"My mother bought it when we first moved to Mexico City. It's a frog."
"Duh," I said. "I did study biology."
"No, I mean this metal insert."
She pulled out a round piece with wicked-looking metal spikes. I could see how that might remind her of her mother's personality.
"You cut the stems of a flower on an angle and stick it into a pin," she continued. "The frog holds your arrangement in place."
We often had fresh flowers in our house, but Lily had never displayed an interest in arranging them. We usually stuck them in a vase with water and the little packet of white powder that came with them.
"When we lived in Mexico City, my mother always had fresh flowers on the table in this frog. Then as we moved, she kept up the tradition."
Okay, I understood that. I had a few pieces of my mother's Lennox china in our cabinet at home, and they were a nice reminder of her. I thought they were a lot prettier than the ugly frog. But hey, to each her own. I walked around the apartment looking for something I might want to keep, but couldn't find anything. When I returned to the living room, Lily had already accumulated a substantial pile of stuff. I was stunned. "We have paper towels back in Pennsylvania," I said. "Do you need to take those with us? Can't we leave them for Fetty and Sarah?"
"When we first came to this country, we were so poor that my mother used to rinse paper towels and leave them to dry on the dish rack. She'd roll over in her grave if my brother and sister-in-law threw them away."
I'd known Lily for nearly 3 years by then, cohabitating with her for two, and I'd never seen her behave this way before. Though her roots were in Poland and Russia, both her parents had been born in Cuba, as she had been, and some fiery Latina behavior had leached into her somewhere, so I knew not to argue with her. "We might need an extra suitcase," I said timidly.
"Then we'll get one. Why don't you go to that big discount store down the block and pick out the largest one you can find?"
I was happy to go. A stranger had taken possession of the woman I loved, and I was afraid of what I might say if I stuck around. In the elevator, an elderly woman had a Yorkshire Terrier in her shoulder bag. The dog's gray and brown face peeked out over the rim, and he showed me his teeth and growled.
"Sir Pico," the woman said, "be nice."
"I have a golden retriever," I said. "I can't carry him around, though."
"Sir Pico is my emotional support."